Hi, everyone. My name is Victor. I'm from the greater Boston area. I meet with the church in Cambridge. And I actually grew up on the East Coast. So I grew up in meeting with the church in Philadelphia. And I came up to these conferences and summer school of truths growing up. And actually, these are awesome times.
Amen.
And I feel like you guys should really treasure these times. These are times where the Lord really speaks to us. And you'll be surprised what you find out later, what the Lord has constituted into you. So I know it's Thursday, but you know we still have a few days to go. We want to gain as much of the Lord as we can. So tonight, we're going to come to Lesson 12, key topics of the Bible, I guess number 5. It's on the kingdom and the dispensations. So if you all have the outline, maybe you can read Roman numeral 1 together. Ready? Go.
The Bible reveals that the central, primary, and most important goal of the gospel of God is to save us into the kingdom of God.
So this Roman numeral, when I read this, there's a few phrases that really stood out to me. And I think you should underline or circle or highlight these words. But first, the first word is central. Second word is primary. Third is actually a group of words, most important goal of the gospel. And so when I read this, I'm like, these are some words that are kind of serious. They're kind of weighty. It's saying like, this is central. Central means something like very critical, right? Primary, it's not secondary. It's not tertiary, it's primary. And the most important goal of the gospel. I mean, this is very clear, right? We're talking about something that should draw our attention.
Right.
And it says that to save us, right? When I read that, I was like, oh, that sounds really good, right? Maybe I'll just stop right here. The central, primary, and most important goal of the gospel is to save us. But does it stop there? No, it goes on, right? What does it say? Yeah, into the kingdom of God. So I want you to, I don't know, circle kingdom, highlight that. That's the most important word right there is the kingdom of God. And so this is something that is so crucial, so central, so important. And I realize that maybe in our daily life, in our living, not too much awareness. How much do you live with the kingdom of God in view? I have to say, maybe when I was living, I don't think about it that much, right? But looking at this Roman numeral, we realize this is something very crucial. And it's very interesting. If we go to the New Testament, in the very beginning, who was Jesus' forerunner? Do you guys know? John the Baptist. Very good. And so John the Baptist, he was this crazy guy. He wore camel skin. He ate locusts and honey. I mean, he was just outside of religion, outside of anything you would expect someone to be the forerunner of Christ, right? And what did he say? In Matthew 3:2, he says, "Repent, for the kingdom of the heavens has drawn near." This is so significant. This is the first thing he said. Repent, for the kingdom of the heavens has drawn near. He didn't say, repent for your sins. That makes sense, right? Repent for, I don't know, your salvation. You need to be saved, right? He didn't say this. He said a very particular phrase. He said, repent, for the kingdom of the heavens has drawn near.
Amen.
So we need to be very impressed. This is the first mention of the preaching of the gospel in the New Testament. And it says it's preaching, repenting for the kingdom. Okay? So following John the Baptist, one more thing. Who did he speak to? Who was he preaching to? He was actually preaching to the Jews. These were the people of God. They, at the time, they followed, I mean, they're the most up-to-date with God, right? They followed his laws, his regulations. But here, John the Baptist is saying, repent for the kingdom of God. And then following that, we have Matthew 4:17. This verse says, from that time, Jesus began to proclaim and to say, repent, for the kingdom of the heavens has drawn near. Amen. That sounds very familiar, right? Does it sound like John? Yeah, right? So Jesus said the same thing, right? Right at the beginning of his ministry. This is what he also said, repent, for the kingdom of the heavens has drawn near. So now, realize there's this word repent. What does repent mean? Repent means to have a turn, a change of mind, change our ways. But what are we changing from? We realize we need to have our mind, our view change to the kingdom. Repent for the kingdom. This is what John's been saying, what Jesus has been saying. And we realize this needs to be something that needs to be spoken to each one of us. Is the kingdom in our view? It says, repent for the kingdom. So we want to change in our concept and change in our mind. Maybe pray, Lord, show me the kingdom. Amen. Lord, I don't have this view, but you have this view. Amen. So Lord, show me the kingdom. So, oh Lord. So now we come to the beginning of the Bible. Let's read A together. So now, if this is so important to God, if it's so central and primary, this is something that he has to unveil very early on with his heart's desire, right? It makes sense. And so we go to Genesis 1:26. I think you're all very familiar with this verse. There's two key words in this verse. What is it? What's the first word? Image. What's the second word?
Dominion.
So these two words, image and dominion. Image relating to expression. Dominion related to representation. Right away, this is God's intention. And God's intention has to do with his kingdom. He wants man to express him, to represent him. In a sense, he wants man to, in a sense, rule, so he could have a kingdom on the earth, a place where he can rule and reign, especially in someone. In man, right? And so, but there's another key word in Genesis. And this is in Genesis 2. And do you know what that word is? Any guesses? What'd you say? Eat? Very close. The word is actually life. God created man, and he placed him in front of the tree of life. And this is very crucial. This is, so we first see God's intention in Genesis 1:26, right? He wants man to express him and represent him. But how does he do this? Man cannot do this apart from life. God placed man in front of the tree of life, showing that he wanted man to take him in as life. And so this is crucial. Because sometimes when we think of ruling and reigning, we just think of outward regulations or some certain law imposed on us that we should follow. But right away, the Bible doesn't reveal it as such. He shows his intention and he brings man to the tree of life. Right away is to life. So the kingdom is altogether related to life. And we can see this further in John. In John 3, there's a man named Nicodemus. He was a ruler of the Jews, and he came to the Lord Jesus at night. And Jesus spoke to him, saying, unless one is born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And then two verses later, he said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And here we see a key principle is that it doesn't matter how capable you are, how good you are, how smart you are, how not smart you are, or anything. This doesn't qualify you for entering the kingdom. How do you enter the kingdom according to this verse? to be born. That's the key, to be born. We need the life of God. Only this life qualifies us for the kingdom life. And so, if you think about the animal kingdom, okay, the animal kingdom, if you want to be in this a certain animal kingdom, you have to have that kind of life, right? I know there's some 10th grade brothers here, right? Where's the 10th grade brothers? Where are you guys? I heard you guys really like to go look at the frogs and go catch some fish. But, you know, there's the kingdom. So how do you enter the kingdom of, I guess, the frogs? You need the frog life, right? It doesn't matter how many frogs you look at. Do you think you'll become part of the frog kingdom? Probably not, right? It's kind of a ridiculous example. But at the same time, we realize, like, by us trying to be in the kingdom of God without the life of God, you might as well be looking at frogs, right? If you're trying to do it in your own, with your own life. So here, there's this matter of the kingdom of God requires the life of God. Amen. There's no other way. You have to have his life. So this is, I would say, the entrance into the kingdom of God, right? Okay, so one thing is, like, I'm talking about the kingdom. You should have some questions, right? First of all, you're probably wondering, what is the kingdom? If this is so important, what is the kingdom? And probably a second question you have is, what does this have to do with me, right? This kingdom sounds like something, maybe, actually, it sounds like something in the past. It could be something in the future, too. It's like kind of vague term. So here, I'll give you a definition of the kingdom. It's a kingdom, is a realm where God can rule and reign, you know, where he's free to rule and reign. And but we have to say that when we receive the life of God into us, when you believed and received the life of God into you, this was your entrance into the kingdom. So on the one hand, we can all say, I'm in the kingdom of God. You know, I believe, I received his life. So now I'm in the kingdom. But there's something about our experience. Sometimes, or maybe a lot of times, sometimes it's like, I don't know if I'm under the rule and reign of God, right? As we're living in our daily life, sometimes it doesn't feel like the case. And I think, I'll just give an example. So we have a human baby. After a baby is born, you can say, the baby has entered into the kingdom of man, right? So he's like born. But if it just stops there, and it's like, okay, cool, I'm in, and just stops. That's not good, right? The baby still needs to grow, still needs to develop. And as the baby grows and develops, there's also a matter of expression and representation, right? As this life grows, there's more expression. As this life grows, there's more representation. Another example we can see of this is in Matthew 13. Here we have the parable of the sower. So the Lord Jesus likened himself to a sower. And a sower is someone who spreads seed on the earth. And so he's coming to spread himself as the kingdom seed into the earth. And the earth shows man's heart. So he's spreading himself into us. But this is just a seed, a kingdom seed. And so this seed needs to grow. And this is one way of viewing the kingdom spreading is by the growing of this seed. So remember that the kingdom is altogether related to life. And so this example is so good because a plant is very living. It's very organic. And it grows. And so we consider the Lord needs a realm where he can rule and reign. And this is by the growth of his life. And there's a prayer that the Lord Jesus gave in Matthew 6. He said, your kingdom come, right? And I think we've all heard this before. It's like, pray in this way, your kingdom come, your will be done. And sometimes we might take that a little religiously, right? It's like, okay, your kingdom come, what does that kind of mean? But you know, there's another way of saying this prayer. It's equivalent to saying, Lord, grow in me.
Amen.
So this should be our prayer. We want his kingdom to come, but if that doesn't make that much sense to you, just say, Lord, grow in me. Because as this seed grows, this is the spreading of the Lord's kingdom. It's the growth of God's life inside of you. Okay, let's go to C4. Maybe read that all together. Yeah. So this says to reign in the life in practice. There's something about this kingdom life that we need to practice. And it's very practical, this matter of allowing the Lord to grow in us. So first, we have that definition of the kingdom is a realm where God can rule and reign. But then we realize that the Lord is the sower who's sowing the seed into our hearts. So now you have to see that the Lord, where does he want to rule and reign? In our heart, exactly. He wants to rule and reign in our hearts. And the question is, do we allow him? Sometimes we have to sit back and think, who's the king in my being? Is it the Lord or is it myself? We want to do a lot of things. We have a lot of preferences. I know we're in the U.S. We love our freedoms. We don't want anybody to tell us what to do. But we're not like everyone else. We have another life in us. We have the kingdom seed within us. And we want this seed to grow. And to me, a way to practice is to say amen. Amen to this feeling within us.
Amen.
You know, we have this life in us. It has feeling at certain situations. Maybe it's saying, don't do a certain thing. And what is our response? Usually our response is, wait, Lord, what about this? What about that? Maybe next time, right? So Lord, next time I'll do that. But I think the word we need to learn to use is amen. We need to amen this life within us. And as we practice, as we follow this sense, I believe the life of God will grow within us. And that's actually the growing of the kingdom within us. So this is very practical, right? In our daily lives, there's all sorts of situations that come up. Maybe your serving one here told you to do something. What is your first response? No, right? But what should we say? Maybe we should say amen, right? What about amen? I remember they called out some brothers or groups for service. The response was not amen. It was like, no, I'm on kitchen service or something. But we need to learn to say amen. What about putting down your cell phone for a little bit? The feeling within is like, drop, just put it down. Don't look at it for the next 20 minutes while you're in the message or something like that. And what is your response within? Is it amen? Or is it no? Maybe later or something, I don't know. So we want to learn how to let this life grow and follow this sense of life. And this, as we follow this, this is the kingdom growing and expanding on the earth. In each one of us, as the Lord is growing within each one of us, this is God's kingdom coming and spreading on the earth.
Can we sing 1301? Just a couple of verses. 1301. We'll just sing verses 1 and 2 and the chorus. Amen. Jesus, the kingdom has come into us, reigning and shining, he's all glorious. Christ as the seed is the king who has come into our spirit, his kingdom he's sown. Oh, let him grow, oh, let him grow, this kingdom life. All we know, Jesus the kingdom is sown into us. Jesus the kingdom, oh how glorious. Verse 1 again. Jesus the kingdom has come to us. Into our spirit, his kingdom he's sown. Oh, let him grow, oh, let him grow. This kingdom seed be all we know.
Jesus, the kingdom is sown into us.
Jesus, the kingdom, oh, how verse 2. We must repent for the kingdom at hand. All that we do, think, or feel as planned must be abandoned, changed in our mind. Leave all the world and self-seeking behind. Oh, let him grow. Sown into us, Jesus the kingdom, oh how glorious. Well, I really feel the Lord gave us such a good beginning with from our brother Victor related to the kingdom. And I would like you all to open to Matthew 6:10. He mentioned this prayer. It's kind of a famous prayer, mostly known as the Lord's Prayer. But I think it's good for us to read this verse in light of what our brother shared with us, that the goal of the gospel, the primary, the central point in the goal of the gospel is to save us into the kingdom of God. It's quite significant. John the Baptist spoke this, the Lord echoed this, and this is really the goal and the central primary point related to the gospel. We are saved for the kingdom. And we're saved into the kingdom. John 3 is very clear about that. You can't see the kingdom unless you're born again. You can't enter into the kingdom unless you're born of water and of the Spirit, right? You've got to be born again to see and to enter into the kingdom. And that's happened to us, right? And now he taught us to pray this way. Let's read verses 9 and 10 of Matthew 6. Nice and strong. You then pray in this way, our Father who is in the heavens, your name be sanctified, your kingdom come, your will be done, as in heaven,
so also on earth.
I'm very struck by this verse. I have been for quite a number of years, but in most recent years, even more so. The Lord wants us to pray, your kingdom come.
Amen.
And the next phrase is what?
Right.
Your will be done. And the next phrase is what? So also on the earth. We need to pray that the kingdom would come on the earth. It's already in the heavens. That his will would be done on the earth. There's no problem with his will in the heavens. He's ruling in the heavens. His kingdom has no Nothing objecting, you know, rebelling against his kingdom in the heavens. The problem is the enemy has taken control of the earth. And so the earth is where the kingdom needs to come. And that's what we need to pray for. That's what we live for. That's what we're saved for. And that is what we need to practice, as our brother mentioned. We need to practice to live in the reality of the kingdom. This is not going to just come overnight. It's not just going to come as a kind of miraculous thing one day. Many Christians believe, you know, well, when the Lord's ready, he's going to come. Well, we know from the truth in the Word that the Lord can only come when the church is built, when the body is prepared. And that's what he's waiting for. That's what he's longing for. So, our brother was absolutely right. For you to pray, your kingdom come on the earth, is the same to pray, Lord Jesus, grow in me. Amen. Write that down. We need to pray this every day. Lord, grow in me. Because he is in us as the seed of the kingdom. Christ is the kingdom. He's the kingdom seed. And he is sown into our hearts. And Paul prayed that we would allow him to spread into our heart, right? That he could make his home in our heart. We would give him the room in our heart to grow. So, brothers and sisters, we need to grow this kingdom into reality. Amen. I don't know if I can put this kind of vision into you. You know, out here, the brothers and sisters who care for the camp, they have a wonderful garden. Have you gone out to see that? The garden is out there? How many have seen the garden? I love fruits and vegetables in the summertime. When I was a high schooler, we used to set up a little roadside, vegetable fruit stand. And we would get the fruit and the vegetables from the local farmers. And we had a little, you know, set up a little stand on the road to the river. And everybody would go out to the river on the weekends, you know. But they'd want to get some tomatoes and watermelon and corn. And so they'd stop and buy fruits and vegetables. That helped put me through college. Not a bad deal. But anyway, I like the fruits and vegetables, and I went out there to look at them. They've got some good corn growing. Vegetable tomatoes are coming up. Tomatoes are ripening. They are growing something, and they have to care for it. They have to water it. They have to go in there and weed it and dig out all the things that frustrate the growth. And it's the same in Matthew 13. Christ sowed himself into the human heart, but whether or not he can grow depends on the condition of our heart. Are there things blocking it? Are there other things growing in our heart? So we need to deal with that. We need to pray, Lord, purify my heart. Dig out all the rocky places. There are hidden sins. There are hidden desires in our heart that need to be dug out so that this seed can grow. We need to take care of that so that this seed can grow. Because God's desire, his heart, is after this kingdom. He wants to gain this kingdom. And we're going to see a little bit about that with this chart in a minute. But for us to cooperate with the Lord, for him to gain the kingdom, we need to let him grow. Amen. He's growing a kingdom in every one of us. You know, on the one side, to sow the seed as the gospel, the Lord has been doing that now for 2,000 years. How many millions of Christians are on the earth today? Maybe even billions, right? We don't even know. And then if not just are living on the earth today, but have been on the earth since the resurrection, since the church began. There are billions, billions of Christians. So it's clear to me, and I hope it's clear to us, it's not a matter of number of people and number of believers. It's how many of us will allow the Lord to take control of our heart and to grow in our heart, and how many of us will live in the reality of what our brother described, of allowing him to rule in our life every day. You know, sometimes we try to learn this, or we've described this kind of thing. When you get up in the morning, you're on your way to school, How about checking with the Lord about what you're wearing? What is that? That is to be under His rule. Asking Him, how's this shirt? How are these pants? Am I okay for school, Lord? Now, it may sound silly to you. You may never have tried that, but I encourage you, try it. Many times, you won't have any sense one way or the other. Seems okay, no problem. But my experience is, every once in a while, the Lord says, no, not that. Not that tie. Not that shirt. He does. He says that. Why? Because He cares about us. He cares about how we look and how we present ourselves to people. So, you know, He cares about all these little details in our life. It's good to check with Him. If you check with Him, then you have an opportunity to obey the inner sense within, the sense of life within. That's the anointing. And if you obey, you are under His rule. So what's happening? The kingdom is growing more. And if billions of us are doing this, think about it. The kingdom is growing more. Because we, on the earth, are under the rule of our King. We have a King. But as our brother mentioned, are we under His rule? Probably not enough. We need to be under His rule more. So we need to check with Him about all kinds of little things. You know, check with Him. Check with Him. You know, 1 John 2:27 says, you have an anointing from the Holy One. And you all know, you don't need anyone to teach you. But as the anointing teaches you, right? As the anointing teaches you, abide in Him. When the Lord is anointing us, if we follow that anointing, we are under the rule of the King of the heavens. And we are living for that little time in the reality of the King of the heavens. Of the kingdom of the heavens. And that is what the Lord wants. That's what He is after. That's what He preached the gospel for. And that's what we're here for, to be in the reality of the kingdom of the heavens. And I think this hymn helps us a little bit. Now, if you look at letter F in your outline, Roman 1, letter F, how about, brothers, let's read letter F all together, nice and strong. The kingdom in Matthew is revealed in three aspects: the reality of the kingdom of the heavens, the inward content of the kingdom in its heavenly and spiritual nature, the appearance of the kingdom of the heavens, the outward condition of the kingdom, and the manifestation of the kingdom of the heavens, the practical coming of the kingdom in power. Now, we can maybe come to the chart for a minute. In the kingdom of God, which is from eternity past to eternity future, there are these dispensations, right? There's the dispensation of time. This is a section of time from Adam to Moses. The patriarchs are here. And then from Moses to Christ, John 1:17 says, the law was given through Moses, but grace came with Jesus Christ. So from Moses to Christ is the dispensation of the law. That's what we consider to be, right, the Old Testament. And people in before the law, they lived by their conscience. That didn't work too well. They fell to another level, and eventually they had to come under human government. But God was relating to His people at that time, to the fathers, the patriarchs before Moses, according to this principle. And those who obeyed Him, and those who lived according to the law, and it's in your lesson book, it's quite something, those will be the first part of the people who will be in the millennial kingdom in the 1,000 years. And then those who lived under the law, if they live by the law, and they follow the law, and they obey the law, and they offer the sacrifices during their life, they will be the second part of the people to be in the millennial kingdom. It's very interesting. I don't know if you knew this. It's in the lesson book. It's in the lesson book. Then, now, Christ came, right? In Christ's first coming. This is the age of grace. This may be a little confusing. This should be a, you know, a thing there. This is the age of grace, which is the age we're now in, or the age of the church. The dispensation of grace or the dispensation of the church. And that's where we are right now. Praise the Lord for the dispensation of the church, which means we can receive now the life of the kingdom. Now the kingdom is not just an outward thing, right? Now the kingdom is an inward matter. It's the life that is sown into us to be lived out through us. And if we are living out this life in our Christian life, in our church life, we are in the reality of the kingdom of God. And these chapters in Matthew 5 through 7, very famous chapters, mostly known as the Sermon on the Mount by most Christians. Read those chapters if you have time before you go back to your home locality. If you're in your Bible reading, you can read those chapters. They're very, very helpful. It shows all the blessings of the kingdom. It shows the nature of the kingdom, people. It's marvelous. It's really, really marvelous, right? And at the end of chapter 6, or toward the end, it says, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. It's talking about, don't worry about what you're going to wear. Don't worry about what you have to eat. Don't worry about your job. Don't worry about anything. Just seek first the kingdom. And God will take care of you. All these things will be added to you. That's a marvelous verse. I think we all should, you know, live by this verse and seek first the kingdom. And, of course, the way, again, to seek the kingdom is to let Him grow. Let Him grow in us. Let Him rule in us by learning to follow the sense of life within our spirit. It's a still small voice. It's just a little sense. It's not a big trumpet, but it's there, and you know it's there. And when you try to practice and start to practice it, you will know. You will know. Mainly, we learn this lesson by disobeying the sense of the anointing and by making mistakes. Because if we follow the anointing, there's life and peace. Everything is fine. If we disobey the anointing, there's death. And that's very obvious. Right? You know when you did something wrong, or when the Lord said, no, don't go there, and you said, oh, come on, just this once, and you go there, and then it's just death. Just death. And that's how we learn the anointing. Then we know, okay, Lord, I messed up. When you follow the anointing, it's life and peace. It's not so clear sometimes. It's just life and peace. But you have to learn how to follow the anointing and obey the Lord. I remember one time, I've given you this testimony a few times, but anyway, for those who may not have heard it, you know, I was a young Christian, not yet in the church life, in college, and I was invited to this party. And so, you know, it was supposed to start at 9 o'clock, and like the stupid nerd that I am, I went at 9 o'clock, and nobody's there, of course, but me and the host. And I just had this feeling, get out of here now. Just get out of here now. And I'm wondering, get out of here. And there's nobody here yet. It's just the host and myself. We're just here. But I just have this feeling, get out of here now. And so I knew the Lord was telling me something. So I just told the host, I said, you know, I'm sorry I can't stay for the party. I have to go. And he said, what's happening? He said, well, someone's calling me. I didn't know what, you know. I just kind of made up something. And so I left. As soon as I got out onto the street, life and peace. Life and peace. I was very, very happy. And then later, the next day, I heard that there were drugs and all kinds of things, and the police raided the place, and everyone got arrested, and, you know, it was a mess. So the Lord saved me from that mess. But we have an anointing, and we need to learn to follow the anointing. And that will help us to live in the reality of the kingdom. Sisters, can you read little 1 under that? Under F1 in the outline. And underline these words, an exercise. And a discipline to us today. You know, we just covered this lesson this morning on the church and its statuses. One of the statuses that we didn't have time to cover this morning is that the church is the kingdom of God. And that is the reality of the kingdom of God today. But for us to be in this reality, it's an exercise. It's a discipline. It's an exercise to learn to follow the anointing. It's a discipline to be under the Lord's ruling. Because there are times when he doesn't want us to do what we want to do. And so, who's going to rule here? You or the Lord? And I'm afraid many times it's us. And he doesn't condemn us and he doesn't judge us. He's just waiting for us to grow. He just wants us to grow. As we grow, then we realize when we disobey the Lord, it's just not comfortable. We don't feel good. And when we obey the Lord, we feel wonderful. So it's a little by little. It's learning. Learning by doing that we would let the Lord grow within us. So the kingdom has these three aspects it mentions in F, right? The reality of the kingdom of God. Then eventually the manifestation of the kingdom of God will be the 1,000-year millennial kingdom after the Lord's second coming. But there's another aspect which is under here in parentheses, the appearance of the kingdom of God, which we don't have much time to spend, but anyway, we want to let you know that in the book of Matthew, it's in Matthew 13, 24 through 42. You have a great tree there, and the birds are roosting in the tree. If this herb seed is planted and grows into this great tree, it means that there is something that's abnormal growing, and that is an appearance, an outward appearance. And that is related to the outward appearance of Christianity or Christendom today. The Roman Catholic Church is a huge, huge organization. And worldwide, huge organization, the so-called Catholic Church, right? But there are a lot of evil things there. There's a lot of idolatry there. Brought in a lot of leaven there. And you can read those verses in chapter 13 to see a lot of things there that are not proper, not normal. They're over grossly grown. It should be an herb. The church should be an herb, a small herb plant, good for food, good for eating. But it has grown in this huge tree where the ravens and the birds nest. And that's representing demons and idolatry and so forth. There's a lot of mixture in Christendom today. So that's what people see a lot. Sometimes they judge us. They think, oh, you're a Christian. You're in this. Well, we're Christians, but we're not in this. We want to be in the reality of the kingdom. And that's being sown as a seed. And it's growing little by little. And it will be manifested someday. There will be the manifestation of the kingdom. So when Christ comes the second time, he will bring in the kingdom of the heavens to the earth. In his second coming, right? He will bring in the millennial kingdom. And all human government will be finished. And Christ will come and reign himself. And he will reign. And all the overcomers and all those from the past dispensations who are faithful to the Lord, they will be here in the millennial kingdom. The overcomers will reign with Christ in the heavenly part. And those from the Old Testament will be on the earth, ruling the nations on the earthly part. But there will be the kingdom of God on the earth. Amen. The kingdom of God will come. Amen. Oh, brothers and sisters, we are longing for this. Amen. We're not only praying for this, but we need to be actively exercising and being disciplined by the Lord in our daily life that we could become the reality of the kingdom of God today. The reality of the kingdom in the church life today. As we in labor and exercise to experience Christ, to enjoy Christ, to deal with the self, to deny the self, to experience the cross to our flesh, to all of our lusts, to so many things, and let the Lord grow in us, and let the Lord rule in our life, then there is more and more of the reality of the kingdom in the church today. And I think you read this, right, Victor? Let's turn to Romans 14, 17. I think it's mentioned in our outline earlier. Romans 14, 17. This is a chapter on the church, Romans 14. And it mentions here the kingdom. Romans 14, 17. You have it. Is that a memory verse? Yeah, it's your memory verse. Let's read it together. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. Kingdom of God is not outward things, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. The more we let the Lord grow as the seed in us, the more we have righteousness in our living. The Lord counts us as righteous, right? The more peace we have, and the more joy we have in the Holy Spirit. And that becomes an expression in the church life today of what? Of the kingdom of God. The reality of the kingdom of God today. And brothers and sisters, this is what we hope for. This is what we're praying for. This is what we were saved for. And this is why we're in the Lord's recovery. Because this needs to be recovered. The church is degraded, mostly fallen into this kind of appearance of things. And most of what Christianity wants to do is be bigger and better and mega churches and, you know, more. Just get bigger and better with more crazy music and everything just to get known and get seen and be obvious. But that is not the reality of the kingdom. The reality of the kingdom is to live by this life that is sown in our hearts and to enjoy this life, to experience this Christ in us. And then we will be the reality of the kingdom. Amen. Okay. Brothers, read little two on the appearance. And all together on three. The manifestation of the kingdom of the heavens is the practical coming, the kingdom of the heavens in power. You have these two chapters in Matthew 24 and 25. 25 has the parable of the five wise virgins and the 10 virgins. Five are wise and five are foolish. And this is another way to consider how are we growing and how can we be ready for this coming kingdom. We need, number one, write this down, to grow in life. That is to have the oil, to buy the oil today, which can be stored in our vessel, which is our soul. And the foolish virgins were lazy and slothful, and they did not buy the extra oil. They had oil in their lamp, which is their spirit. They were saved. They were believers. And when the Lord starts to come, the wise ones trimmed their lamps and were ready to meet the bridegroom. But the foolish ones realized, wait, we don't have any extra oil. We trim this wick now. Our lamp's going to go out. And so they asked, give us some more. Give us some of your oil. And the wise ones said, that's not possible. We can't give you our oil. You have to buy it. You have to go and buy it for yourself. So this is the first point of this parable. We have to gain more Christ. Amen. We have to gain more of the oil. We need a reserve supply. We need an extra tank of oil. We need more of the Spirit in spreading into our mind, emotion, and will, into all of our heart. Then the second parable is related to our Christian service. And all of the slaves were given talents, and the Lord asked them to do business until he comes. And then when he came, the one who had five talents had gained five, and he was appraised, well done, good and faithful slave. The one who had two gained two, well done, good and faithful slave. It's not about how much you gain, it's just that you gain some interest, you do some business with what you have, you use your talent. But the one who had one was afraid of the master and buried his talent in the earth, in the ground. And when he came, he said, here, I have your talent. You have what is yours. And what did the Lord say to him? slothful and evil slave. You didn't do what you just buried your talent in the earth. He said, no, give the talent to the one who has more talents, and this one will go and you're outside gnashing your teeth for 1,000 years. So that slave did not make it into the manifestation of the kingdom. So that's a very important chapter for us, brothers and sisters. We need to grow in life, and we need to be faithful in our service to the Lord. Whatever the Lord gives us, wherever He's placed us in the body, we have a function. There's so many ways to serve in the church life. Just serve. Get a place. Find a place. Ask the leading brothers where you are, the serving brothers where you are. Where can I serve? And just begin to serve. I would say, encourage you this way, it would be very good if you all could serve the junior high. They look up to you. They're looking at you already. You are their pattern already, either negatively or positively. You're their pattern. They're watching you. They're looking up to you. So why not just serve them? You begin to serve them and pray with the other serving ones. You'll get more oil. And you will gain more of Christ. He will grow in you because you're serving. And you will feel very much needed in the church life. Brothers, we all, sisters, we all are needed. And we need to feel needed. We all need to find our place in God's house. We need to find our little niche. Our little, you know, we need to be comfortable in the church house, in the church life, where we can function and grow and be happy and realize we're needed here. We're needed. Whether it's serving on ushering, whether it's making the Lord's table bread or cooking for the love feast, we are needed. You are necessary. You are necessary. And that will help you to grow. That will help you to grow in life. And that would also help you to be faithful in your service so that there would be a rich entrance provided to you into the millennial kingdom. Now, we just want to cover these dispensations quickly at the end here. Maybe the best way is to look at your lesson book. Page 160. Letter D under the Roman 3, the dispensations, the dispensation of the kingdom. So let's close by reading this, I think. How about we read a sentence each, brothers and sisters, and we'll alternate. And if I need to stop to say something, I'll just stop you. Okay? Let's read the bold heading together. The dispensation of the kingdom, brothers, of the dispensation of grace, God will change for the last time the way of His work of the new creation on man of the old creation. Sisters. Brothers, this is the dispensation of the kingdom, which is also called the dispensation of righteousness. It covers the period from the second coming of Christ to the end of the millennium. I think this is very good. I don't think many of us realize. He will also be perfecting. What does it say? The just reward, the just men perfected in the Old Testament. All the just ones who are perfected. And the overcoming believers in the church age. Good. Brothers, go ahead. So my understanding in reading this and reading the life study is there also, when He comes back, there will be the Jews on the earth who will see Him. They will see Him whom they pierced, and they will believe in Him at that time. And they will also be saved at His coming. When He comes, to Mount Zion when he descends and comes in his glory in his second coming. The Jews, when they see him, they will realize this is the Messiah. This is the one whom we pierced, because he will come with his pierced hands. And they will believe, and they will enter in and be perfected in this 1,000 years. The immature believers will also be perfected in this 1,000 years. They just will be perfected in another place called the outer darkness. But they will be perfected. This is really marvelous. God will perfect all of his children. And all of his children, we'll see this tomorrow, will be in the new Jerusalem, in the new heaven, and the new earth. All of them. Regardless of how they didn't follow him, how unfaithful, they didn't grow, they rejected. But they were saved. They have his life. They will be here. So it just, when do we get, you know, we want to be with the Lord here. We want to be ready and ruling and reigning and not learning the lessons in those 1,000 years. We want to reign with him. Okay. Is it sisters? Next? Yeah. The dispensation of the kingdom, is that right?
Yes.
Go.
The dispensation of the kingdom, which is the dispensation of righteousness, is still a dispensation in the old creation, used by God to chasten, to discipline, and to perfect the believer.
So this is not the new heaven and new earth yet. It's a dispensation of the kingdom on the earth. Okay. Brothers, it is not in the new heaven and the new earth that all the work of the new completion God will you sisters.
God will use the last dispensation in the old creation to complete his work of the new creation, which is the creation.
That is, he will cause the immature believers in the dispensation of grace to mature in life, and he will also cause the repentant Israelites after the termination of the dispensation of grace to become constituents of the new altogether. In this way, God will complete the work of the new creation on the man in the old creation, and a work that will produce perfect and new race. Thus, the process triune God and the transformed tripartite man will be mingled as one to be the mutual dwelling place for his ultimate corporate expression. Praise the Lord for the kingdom and the dispensations. How about we pray with the one next to us, and then you have time to overflow and to share what you've enjoyed. Let's pray for 2 minutes.